Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers, or those who have fathers, or those who know a father. I think that pretty much includes everyone. Happy Father's Day. Today, the topic is going to focus on fear. Fear is an emotional response. We have good fears, we have bad fears, healthy fears, unhealthy fears. There are fears in life that can paralyze us, such as we are so scared of whatever we fear that we become almost like concrete statues, immovable. I have a concrete statue in my backyard. It's immovable. But that cannot be the fear we're speaking of today, because we're speaking of fear of the Lord. So fear of the Lord is a good fear. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to look at this. And we're in a new series called Insight for Living. But let's first pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can meet and come together. And we thank you that we can meet without fear of the authorities arresting us, unlike in many other parts of the world. We ask today that you help us to figure out what it means to fear the Lord. We pray all these things in his precious name. Amen. So what is this fear of the Lord? It can be difficult to explain. The word fear. It sounds negative. Now, lots of people replace the word fear with respect. There's a popular saying that it says, have no fear. Have you heard it? I'm sure you have. Now, what does it mean? Well, in the Bible, there's the word fear. So there must be a place for fear. Fear of the Lord. Maybe this is how it works. There's some aspects of fear that we lose as believers, and there's going to be some aspects that we keep. So we're going to lose fear as believers, Christians. We're going to lose fear of God's punishment because Jesus forgave our sins. We are right with God. We're going to lose God's punishment, the fear of that. Because God is in control, we're going to lose fear of the storm, fear of the future. That's not easily done, but that's what we're going to be trying to work towards, losing that. But there's also keep. We're going to keep working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because that's in Philippians. We're going to keep trembling at your word, because God is infinitely better than us. I mean, the Psalms and the Proverbs is full of references to trembling at God's word. So we're going to have to keep that fear. And there's also the fear that leads us to worship God. The fear that brings us closer to God. We want to keep that. And so you can see, there's going to be some aspects we lose of fear, some aspects we keep. So what is this fear of the Lord? I submit to you, I'm going to put it in a short sentence, it is to draw near to God and his word. That is what fear of the Lord means. Draw near to God and his word. So consider the cross. Sin is so serious, and judgment, God's judgment, matters so much that we need forgiveness. We need to draw near to God. We need to draw near to Jesus. We need to draw near to the cross. Draw near to God and his word. So fear doesn't mean that Christians are scared of God. We have promises in the Bible. God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We also have promises in the Bible that nothing will separate us from the love of God. So Christians cannot be scared of the Lord. Fear doesn't mean that. Neither do we hide from the Lord. Like you recall in the book of Genesis, in Adam and Eve, with Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. They ate the forbidden fruit. And what did they do after they ate the forbidden fruit? They hid. But Christians, that's not us. We are, when we repent, when we turn to God, we are forgiven and we draw near to God. See, God is so big, so majestic. We are to believe in him. How can we refuse him? How can we turn away to him, from him? And we are to draw near to him. We are to revere him, to worship him, to be in awe of him. As it says in the book of Hebrews, to boldly approach him. And when we sing, we do that. We're in awe. We boldly approach him in song. So, let me ask you, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Or what's it look like in your life to fear the Lord? Verse 7 says these words, which we read, and it really matters that we fear the Lord because it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you can see what fear is. We draw near to the Lord and his word. That's what it means to fear the Lord. So why fear the Lord? Let's go there now. Why fear the Lord? Well, I have three reasons for you this morning. Firstly, God wants us to. Secondly, as we just read, is the beginning of wisdom. And thirdly, it is a cure, solution or cure for the fear of what others think, or otherwise known as FOWAT. You heard of FOWAT? The fear of what others think. Let's go with the first one. Obvious place to start, the first one. God wants us to fear him because he's infinitely better and his path is the best path. And so it's on his heart. He is patient with us, wanting everyone to repent and fear him. He created us. We belong to him. We fear him. It pleases him. It keeps us safe from him and his righteous judgment when we choose to ignore him. So we want to fear him and turn to him. And there's heaps of verses in the Bible about that, and I've just listed four. So very quickly, Proverbs 19, there's fear the Lord leads to life. In Proverbs 28, there is blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. That word stuck out to me, always, not just on Sundays, but always. And then Philippians 2, we already read, was work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then Hebrews 12, some of you will know about Hebrews 12. There's a warning, do not refuse him, God. Do not refuse him who speaks. Basically how it works, we fear what happens to us if we drift away from God. That's right fear. We're meant to fear what will happen if we drift away from God. So in other words, for the believer, don't drift from God. It is very serious. So God wants us to fear him. It is for our best. and of course the right sort of fear. Okay. But why fear the Lord? The second reason is, as we read in the passage, it is the beginning of wisdom to fear the Lord. This is where we're going to enter Proverbs proper. We're going to have a look at the background because I think this will help set up what it looks like to fear the Lord with the beginning of wisdom. So we go to Proverbs. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to basically summarize Proverbs and then the verses. Let's start with Proverbs. As you can see, Proverbs, so new series, good place to look at the background. Proverbs is mostly written by Solomon. There were other authors of Proverbs, but Solomon wrote pretty much most of it. And he was a king. He was the son of David, and he was regarded as the smartest man in the room at that time. So, you know, today people always think about who's the smartest person in the room. In ancient times, Old Testament, Solomon would have been that guy. Smartest man in the room. Okay, so Proverbs, it forms what is commonly regarded as wisdom literature. So every now and then you're going to hear about wisdom literature in the Bible. Wisdom literature such as Ecclesiastes, Job, Song of Solomon. Proverbs forms part of that, where it's all about wisdom. It's all about listening up, listening to God's wisdom through the book of Proverbs, Solomon writing this part of Proverbs. Proverbs is also about God is calling, shaping, and persevering a people for himself. So God is using this book, God is using this Proverbs to set apart believers from unbelievers. In fact, that's pretty much the whole Bible. If you care about the Bible, if you want to read the Bible, if you want to believe the Word of God, the Bible, God uses that to set you apart as a believer from unbelievers who don't really believe it, don't really care about it. And so Proverbs is doing that as well. And the book of Proverbs is both gaining wisdom for the first time if you're a youth, because there's a lot of references in Proverbs about youth. So it's gaining wisdom for the first time as a youth, or it's about adding wisdom, because we all know the adage of you never stop learning. Okay? So it's both. The book's for both, gaining and adding wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is also filled with poems of insight, such as the beginning of the book, the preamble, otherwise, you know, the setup of the book, the introduction to the book, which is verses 1 to 7. So let's go there now. And we read that in chapter 1. And you might have noticed as we move through chapter 1, how many sentences began with the word two. Two, 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 two. Lots of twos in there. Two, an instrument to an end. To this end, to that end. There was to know wisdom, to know insight, to receive instruction. There was to give prudence. Prudence is just make sound judgment, making the right decision at the right time. There was to make sense of a proverb. There were a lot of twos, even in these first seven verses. Because the twos are crucial. Twos are crucial. Because no one wants to be kept in the dark. No one wants to be blind. We want to be wise. We don't want to be blind. We don't want to be the blind leading the blind. No one wants to trip up the stairs in the pursuit of wisdom. Yeah, I'm after wisdom and you're just going to trip up the stairs. No one wants that. No one wants to be known as a fool. You remember the end of verse 7? Well, let me tell you, if you don't, the end of verse 7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that is God's wisdom. That is God's instruction. The fools despise that. And there's guidance in verses 1 to 7. In verse 5, there's the word guidance. Guidance is all about the narrow path to God. The world around us promotes the broad path to God. There are thousands of broad paths to God. What you need to know that there is a narrow path to God, you need God's wisdom. It's only possible through God's wisdom, which draws us near to God, not away from God. The narrow path is near, the broad path is away from God. Again, what is the fear of the Lord? Drawing near to God and his word. And so, lastly, in chapters 1 to 7, what stood out to me, I think it's very true right through the Bible, is the Bible is filled with parables and riddles. That was, I think, in verse 6, the word riddles. The Bible is filled with parables and riddles and the cross of Christ. To make sense of it, you need God's wisdom, don't we? How many people say the cross of Christ is foolish? If you're going to say it's the power of God, to say that, you actually need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. Oh, how many people in the Gospels read the parables, and at that time when Jesus was telling a parable, how many of the crowd around him had no idea what he was talking about? They had no idea. To understand the parables, even today, the New Testament, we need God's wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs, it's all about God's wisdom. And this preamble, this introduction, this setup to the book, it's all about to knowing and receiving and using and understanding and making sense of the Proverbs of God's wisdom. All right, so let's go back to the second one. Hopefully that fills it in a little bit. So why fear the Lord? Again, what is the fear of the Lord? Draw near to God and his word. Why fear him? Well, it seems to be, in verse 7, it is the beginning of instruction, the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom, instruction, pretty much means the same thing. So, do you want to be wise before God? When God looks at you, do you want God to esteem you, exalt you, find favour with you? Do you want that? Do I want that? When God looks at us, do we want God to see us as people, his people, who are wise? Do you want the heavens to declare that the lights are on? That you're switched on with God? So you might be the smartest person in the room when it comes to physics. You might be the smartest person in the room when it comes to economics. You might have ended up with the highest ATAR in the state, or you're going to end up with the highest ATAR in the state. You might end up with the most houses in Strathfield, and Burwood. You might even end up an influencer or a celebrity. But if you turn from God, if you despise his word and his instruction, then you're a fool. I'm a fool if I do that. Australia, according to God's word, is full of fools. We don't want to be like that. God says this: these are the ones I look on with favour, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Fear of the Lord. So how's it going? Where are your values? What do we care about? God's wisdom matters. It gives us perspective on why to pray, why we should read our Bible. For example, God uses the reading of the Bible to separate us from those who believe, from those who don't believe. God's wisdom matters because it teaches us how to treat others, how to relate to the world around us. God's wisdom teaches us how to have a right view of Jesus. Jesus is not just simply a good bloke who did some good things. He is God, Saviour of the world. Gives us a right view of Jesus. I was talking to someone in this church recently about the risen Jesus. And this bloke said that Jesus is coming back, and all the armies in the world, even the strongest army in the world, will not be able to resist Jesus coming back. So we better be on his side. God's side. Now, that's God's wisdom right there. Because a lot of people in this Australia wouldn't say that. But he said that, and I thought, yeah, that's God's... The only reason you could say that, or I could say that, is because that's God's wisdom right there, applied. So why fear the Lord? It is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a lot of references in Proverbs about the youth gaining wisdom, but it's also about adding to the wisdom that God has given you already. So why fear the Lord? The third point is, and this is why I think it really matters, it is a cure for fear of what others think. This is a real problem for many of us. Proverbs 29 says, "The fear of man is a snare," and a snare means, you know, traps you, entangles you. And we know that. It's a real problem. It's really hard because we just want to fit in. We just want people to like us, to accept us, to respect us. Signs that we care too much about what other people think include we can become people pleasers. We care too much what others think. Signs of that include if our opinions differ from others, we'll hold our tongue, we'll close our mouths. Or we're constantly saying sorry. This is one I struggle with a little bit. Constantly saying sorry because we fear what others think. Or we find it hard to say no. Signs that we care too much about what others think. I think other signs include we find it too hard to say yes. I've learned this as a pastor over the years. Sometimes people are so used to saying no to serving that it becomes a part of their identity, and that they worry that if they say yes that people will think of them a bit weird because they actually said yes to something. So I think it's both. We find it hard to say no and we find it hard to say yes. It just depends who we are. Signs that we care too much about what others think can include we never witness. No one's saying that it's easy witnessing for Jesus, but we never do it, family, friends, ever, because we care too much what others think of us. See, some of you won't be baptized because of the fear of what others think. Others in the community won't follow Jesus. Maybe they had an opportunity, but they won't follow Jesus because they fear other people's opinions. I recall an old missionary friend in Japan. He said, and he was a missionary with his family, he said he's seen wives come to Christ in the family, but because of the fear of what others think, he said in just about every situation where the wives have come to Christ, the fear of what others think has prevented husbands from coming to Christ. Worried, what will their work think? What will their community, what will their family think? He's seen that. The fear of what others think. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked and respected. That's normal. We all want that. And that's good. You know, you want to be liked. You want to be respected. There's nothing wrong with embarrassment. You know, you get embarrassed, I get embarrassed, we go red in the face, that's all good, you know, no problems there. We all agree, that's, you know, God gave us those skills, okay. But we also know that maybe we just, sometimes we overdo it. We worry too much. We care too much about what other people think. We forget that there is a God who is much greater. We forget there is a God who gives us grace and resources. We might even care so much about what others think that it may, in some people, injure our mental health. We need a solution. Now, society, and it's not hard to find solutions in society, you just have to do a search on the net. Society offers us heaps of solutions, such as, I looked it up this week. Some of the more popular ones include, if you fear what others think, then just learn to breathe properly. Okay, don't panic. Face your fear head on. Visualise your happy place. Talk it over with people, those sort of things. And you know what? That's completely fine. Okay, that's good advice. No problems there. Common grace. Lots of people have good advice. But I'm a pastor and I'm preaching a sermon and my job is to give you the Bible answer, which I think is the better solution, the better cure. It is more powerful. The cure for fear, bad fear, the cure for fear is fear. The fear of the Lord. See, fear is only defeated by a bigger and greater fear. As someone I read this week said, when the fear of God overwhelms you and controls you, it overcomes, miraculously, it overcomes the paralyzing fear of people's opinions. When it controls you, when it overwhelms you. It's only when the fear of the Lord looms larger, so the fear of the Lord looms larger in our emotions, in our soul, it's only when that happens when the fear of people's opinions shrink. So let me give you some examples. Serving the Lord publicly in ministry, standing on stage, praying, singing. We all need to learn, or whatever we do, in whatever capacity, serving the Lord publicly in ministry, whatever we do, we need to be able to learn to say, particularly in those moments when we feel a little bit uncomfortable and what might people think of me if I say the wrong word, or I do this or I do that and it's not what I was planning to do. And you know, when you're a preacher, you do it all the time. So basically, we need to learn to say, I fear the Lord more than what other people think of me. I care more about what the Lord thinks than what others think of me. Other examples include standing aside from the crowd. So it might be honesty at work, honesty at school, you know. We might say, you know what, you know, I'm going to stand aside from the crowd. I'm going to be honest at work. I'm not going to do whatever, or at school. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to, because I care more about what the Lord thinks than what others think. I fear the Lord more than I fear what others think of me. Well, you know, when I was growing up, I had a, whenever I would talk to someone, I had a quiver in my lip. I couldn't talk, especially to girls. Anyway, I couldn't talk. I would quiver in my lip. Super embarrassing. Super difficult. In fact, I struggled with it. I eventually got over that. And then I moved into, when I became a pastor, whenever I would stand on stage, I literally would shake. If I was holding a microphone, my hand would shake. And you know, it still happens every now and then. The only way I overcame quiver and shaking hands and things like that is I would say to myself, you know, particularly like standing here, I would say things like, I don't care what others think of me, I care what the Lord thinks. Or I fear the Lord more in what others think of me. And then miraculously, somehow my hand stayed still, and I'm able to, by God's grace, confidently proclaim God's word, because I'm very shy by nature. But it came from that. And so it does have power. Now, every now and then I forget and I fall back into these, and I've got to keep saying, I fear the Lord more than what others think of me. And I'm saying all of this because I know for some of you, it is an issue. It is quite difficult. And so I'm going to do something now that's a bit practical, and we're going to practice, all right? Might be a bit weird, but we're going to give it a go, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Very quickly, won't take long, but I want you to pretend that you're very shy. Okay, can you do that? All of you say, yeah, that's me, I'm very shy. No worries, I can do that. One or two of you say, no, that's going to be hard, I'm not shy at all. But anyway, just pretend you're shy and look to the person next to you, and I want you to pretend that you're totally intimidated by them, okay? That person is very good looking, and you find that person incredibly intimidating, okay? All right, we all have it at times with different people. I want you to turn to the person, and what I want you to do is this. I want you to hold eye contact. Eye contact is important because eye contact, it's amazing the power of eye contact. So eye contact, and I want you to say, now you normally would say this to yourself. You would say this in your mind. You'd say, I fear the Lord more than I fear what you think of me. Okay, but for the sake of the exercise, say it verbally. Say, I fear the Lord more than what you think of me. How can I help you? All right? Okay, are you ready? So you're going to look at them in the eye. You're going to say, I fear the Lord more than what you think of me. How can I help you? Ready? Go. And then swap it around if you haven't swapped it around. Okay, well done. Well done. Again, it really matters because I know, like me, over the years, you know, a lot of us struggle with that. And we need to come to a point where we need to say, I care more about what the Lord thinks of me than what others think of me. Now, of course, no one is arguing about being rude to people. Because I remember in the early 2000s, there was this movement called the assertiveness movement. And what happened is people were so enamored with being assertive that a lot of people became rude with each other. So we don't want to go there, you know. Christians, we're going to be gentle and kind and polite and all those things, but we've got to be able to learn to say, I fear, no, we say it in our heads as we're talking to very intimidating people, I fear more of what the Lord thinks of me than what you think of me, yeah? Got to be able to do that. I think it really helps. But also remember to maintain the eye contact. It's amazing what that can do. So how might we... how might we cultivate this fear of the Lord? Well, we can do practice things such as that, but there's also the importance of running to God and praying to God and meditating on His Scripture and seeking to apply His grace and His resources and seeking, when we say, I fear the Lord more, to seek His glory and what matters to Him most. You know, putting all those things into practice, or one of those things, can help us to cultivate in us that miraculous healing power of fearing the Lord more than fearing what others think of us. See, if you're a teen, if you're a teenager at school, we're going to give you time to grow in confidence, okay? That's what we're going to do here. We're going to give you time to grow in confidence. But if you're a young adult, it is time to get over it. Put into practice fear of the Lord, because it is a cure for fear of what others think. I know this young bloke, very close to home, years ago. He was riding his, you might have met him anyway, he was riding his motorbike. He was in year 11 at school. He was riding his motorbike to school. And what this young bloke used to do is he used to like following the school bus because it's so cool. Crowded school bus down his street for part of the way until he would later on zoom past the school bus. One day on the way, year 11, on the way to school, following the school bus, all the students he knew were in the school bus. He would follow the school bus. It was a very narrow country road, and he decided to go alongside the school bus and stop and talk to his mate who was leaning out the school bus window. And as he was doing that, because it's a very narrow road, to stop a bike, obviously, you have to put your feet down. And so the bus is here and the bike is here. And he goes to put your left, my right, foot down to balance the bike. But what he didn't realise was there was a ditch there. And in the deep ditch, he dropped his leg and the bike tilted over and crashed into the ditch in front of all the school kids. Now, you can imagine the embarrassment. You can imagine this young bloke decided, that's it. I'm leaving year 11. I'm not doing HSC. I'm done. Never wanting to return. But this young bloke was a Christian. This young bloke knew that God had called him to go to school, to finish up HSC. And so he, because of the fear of the Lord mattered most, after a couple of days of hiding, he eventually returned to school. And within one or two days, nobody remembered anyway, so it's not such a big deal. In fact, a few people cared about what happened. So, fear of the Lord matters much more than fear of what others think. Think about Jesus. Jesus on the cross. Blood, body broken, blood shed. He cared more about what his father thought than what the Roman authorities, what the Jewish people, the crowds thought. And so he went to the cross. He feared his father more, in a good sense. He feared his father more than the crowds on the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where people say, have no fear, but we read in the Bible that there's a place for fear. There's a healthy fear. There's times for fear. And we know that, God, we need to fear you in a healthy way. We need to know that you're infinitely better than us. And that your word has power. We need to tremble at your word. We need to take it seriously. We cannot just dismiss it. And we cannot make jokes about you, God. We cannot try and prank you. We've got to fear you. We've got to understand that sin is very serious. And there's a judgment. And you were right to judge. But then, in our fear, we realize that you are a loving God, that you want us to draw near to you, to your word, to Jesus on the cross, his resurrection, the giving of the Holy Spirit to empower us in life now and life eternally. You want us to draw near to you, to have a healthy fear, to be wise, to be able to discern our place in this world, to be able to find that solution to that cure for fear of what other people think. We need to do that. And we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit in those who believe that you'll help us to do these very things. And we thank you most of all that Jesus, he cared most about what his father thought, not what the crowds thought of him, not about You know, everyone patting him on the back, lifting him on his shoulders, putting him on a throne. He didn't care about any of that. He wanted truth. He wanted honesty. He cared about what his father thought. Gave him power, sent him to the cross, raised him from the dead. He cared about what you thought, Heavenly Father. We thank you that Jesus is our power, our ultimate example. We pray that we'll never forget this as we turn our eyes to him. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen.